Hey, everybody. Welcome to my podcast, Substitute Intelligence. This is our first and best end of the world episode. Just stay tuned. It's the end of the world as we know it. Jimmy calls to tell me the ice caps are melting. This is 3 a.m. He says the world might flood at any moment. I say, that's nice, and I go back to sleep. Jimmy is as vigilant as a bloodhound and believes if the president doesn't doom us, a natural disaster will. For Jimmy, this is good news. Whereas normal people take up sensible hobbies like collecting postage stamps, Jimmy contemplates the end of the world. He believes we can survive. He plans to buy land where we can rebuild civilization and has demanded that we give him a percentage of our weekly wages. Frank has complied. Garrick told Jimmy to get a job. Thus, Garrick has no place in Jimmy's new society. Jimmy's calls inevitably come in the middle of the night, my phone jangling me awake with reports of an earthquake in Ecuador or an outbreak of flu in Peru. When CNN recently reported a possible asteroid strike, Jimmy nearly poked his eye out, peering at the skies via telescope, calling me hourly with its progress. I've been tempted to turn off the telephone. I've debated whether or not to tell Jimmy not to call. But somewhere in the back of my head, staring among the unending echoes of media's doom and gloom, I wonder, what if Jimmy is right? Welcome to my first podcast. It's fitting that we should start out with the world on the verge of extinction. The governor of New Jersey just ordered us to hide in our houses in order not to spread an infection that the U.S. intelligence agencies have known about for months, but didn't bother to inform anybody but a pack of greedy senators who decided to sell off their stock before the market tanked. This virus is the latest in a score of similar viruses that have struck us over the last 70 years, killing tens of thousands of people we largely didn't know about because we didn't have CNN to scare us to death, or a government bound and determined to count up the bodies afterwards in order not to lose one red cent of FEMA money, the way many did after Superstorm Sandy. We should be over this plague in a few weeks, although we may wipe out the Amazon rainforest trying to replace all the toilet paper hoarded by mobs of people wearing gloves and masks as they tear each other's eyes out. Don't try to get a haircut, or the governor will come at you with the National Guard. My regular Chinese food place suffered a bit of racism, as well as paranoia, assuming someone was going to blame them for the virus. Perhaps they snuck it in with their fortune cookies. Don't worry. The hype hardly lives up to the reality, and the surge of deaths expected won't likely equal the last few attacks of the flu we suffered through over the last decade. But normal isn't coming back anytime soon. Once public officials learn that they can force people to bend to their will, steal civil liberties, they are bound to find new excuses to do it again and again. This is the mentality that has us outlawing plastic bags in order to save sea turtles while we hide under our beds awaiting the attack of a virus three times more likely to catch us than the last virus the CDC officials claimed was twice as deadly as the one before that. If you think that was bad, astronomers are telling us to watch the skies for a possible asteroid strike that has the potential to wipe out all life on the planet, even the sea turtles. Then none of us will have to hide in our houses. If the virus doesn't get us, the asteroids will. Bad air. I hear the river even in my dreams, the rush of its fast water giving up its steam. On hot days, I used to sit near the foot of the Dundee Falls, letting the spray cool my face, fish feeding at the bottom, with their crisscross patterned backs like crossword puzzles to fill in, their lives defined by feed or die, so they keep moving. No sharks this far upriver to worry over. Just the greedy fishermen who constantly cast, hooking the same fish again and again. Fish they don't want and can't eat because of the polluted water. The same fish suffering through the hook over and over until they get used to the pain or dig deep in the muck in an attempt to ignore the constantly dangling bait. On hot days, old man Ben always brings out his cooler full of water, handing me something to drink and telling me to calm down, dig deep, and wait for the wind to blow all out the bad air so we can all breathe free again.
little tune concerned with nuclear disasters. What a shame! What a shame! Nothing seems to be going right. What a shame! Nothing seems to be going right. It's not easy to you, I sleep in the shelter all night. What a shame! Y'all heard what I said. What a shame! Shelter all night. What a shame.